Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Good morning to you. Nice to have you here today. Do you have your Believe book? It's awesome. I really want to encourage you to stay engaged in this because each week the chapter that we're reading is just a compilation of scripture verses based on a particular topic. In other words, last week was all about God. In the beginning, God created, just the existence of God. And chapter 1 was all about that. This week, chapter 2 is all about God as a personal God. And all the scriptures in chapter 2 are based on that theme. And if you read those before we come together, it will help you tremendously. A couple weeks ago, we started by asking these two very important questions. One is, do I believe? Okay? And two is, do I want the life that God wants for me? That's really what this idea of this study on believe, great doctrines, spiritual disciplines, fruits of the Spirit, it's what it's all about. It's accepting not only how important it is to have faith in God, but to allow God and the existence of God to change your life. Last week, we actually talked about God. Remember, and I ask you, when you talk about God, is it God with a question mark? Or is it God with an exclamation point? Or is it God with a period? Because, some of us, when we talk about God, it's God with a question mark. Is God real? Does God exist? I mean, a lot of people, when they talk about God, it's like, God? Who's God? And is there really a God? Or sometimes we use God with an exclamation point. I use this talking about, very legalistic, dogmatic, kind of in-your-face kind of Christians. And it's not God with a question mark. It's God with an exclamation point. And we kind of beat people up sometimes because we believe in God and maybe they don't. And I encourage you not to have either one of those two perspectives, but just to have God, period. In other words, that God, the existence of God, that God created everything is a settled fact, that it's just God, period. Matter of fact, remember at the end we used that old prayer that we said as a child, God is great, God is good, and we just said, maybe we just need to say that God is. Because that's exactly what Genesis tells us, that God is, that He always has been, and He always will be. So when you're talking about this God is, I had a really neat experience this past week. I went to visit a sweet little lady from our church here. It's in the nursing home. Her name is Norma Cousins. Norma had a stroke pretty recently, and she's in a nursing home. And her son, whom she lived with, died very suddenly last week, David Cousins. So I went in to encourage Norma. And it was just really sad. And she was laying there in the bed, and her right side is really affected, her leg and her arm and even her speech to some degree. And I was just encouraging her. And I reached over and put my hand on her hand to just pray with her. And I noticed she had this band on her hand. I mean, this lady is like in her mid-80s, maybe upper 80s, and very, very sick. Just went through this tragedy. And I found out that her friend, Betty Neville, your friend too, my friend, actually went in to visit her and took this I Believe bracelet and put it on her wrist and told her about the study that you and I are doing together here each week. And I noticed it, and I said to her, I said, Norma, I love your jewelry. And she did what every woman does when you say that. You know what she did? She reached up to fill her earrings, Right? I said, no, I'm talking about your band. I said, I believe. And she said, I believe, in a very weak voice. And I said, Norma, what's that all about? And she told me that, she gave me the whole thing about how it was about Jesus. And I said, what do you believe, Norma? She said, I believe in Jesus. Powerful. You see, folks, when we understand this, not only that God is real, but that, like we're going to talk about today, God is a personal God, it can change your life. Because I don't think for a minute that all of us, maybe even not very many of us, really understand the beauty and the implication of this fact. Not that just God is, but that God is a personal, loving God who wants to help you in every area of life and wants to be a part of everything that you do. It's interesting, this watch here. Did you know that a watch or a clock is an illustration both of by unbelievers and believers? Believers use a clock as an illustration of who God is. Unbelievers use a clock to teach what God isn't. You know, for example, believers say that, you know, God is the creator, that God is behind this intelligent design that we see here. And they said, you know, if you believe that everything that is created is an accident, it's kind of like believing that a watchmaker can take the thousands of intricate parts of a jeweled timepiece and putting all the parts in a paper bag and shaking them up and then dumping it out on the table and it comes out as a fully functioning, beautiful, ornate timepiece. And the time is correct. Okay, they say that's what believing. You know, when you look around this world and thinking that this is not designed intelligently, and we always say, you know, that's God is the intelligent designer, that He's the one that made nothing or made everything out of nothing. But then unbelievers use a clock and they tell you, well, listen, God isn't real. And even if there was a God, they say what he did was that he created this world and he wound it up like somebody winds up a clock and then he just left it to run down. And that they say, God, if there is a God, that he's not involved in your life and mine. And folks, that is totally foreign to the way we view Scripture. From beginning to end, the Bible is the story of God not only creating us, not only loving us, but being involved in our life. God wants to be involved so much in your life. And sometimes I think that we have this view of God as being, you know, the big man upstairs or something, that we think, well, why would he pay attention to us? Why would he do anything for me? I mean, you know, if he's God, why does he pay attention to me? Let me tell you a quick story. Stephanie's here this morning, Cohen's mother. And I was in Pittsburgh some weeks ago when Cohen had his big operation. We sat there all day. How about it? All day. Kay Steele was with me. Her grandson, Alex, was having a heart procedure done that very same day. So we sat there, the Allens and us, Kay and her daughter, Pam, and Rick, we sat there all day. Alex's surgery was finally over, and we sat there for hours after that, waiting on Cohen. And when it got toward the end, I remember, I don't know if Stephanie remembers this, but I remember kind of talking about the doctors, because I'd been through this with families before, and you know, everybody's wondering, boy, it's taking a long time, and you know, all this kind of things. And even though they'd come out and give updates, and there'd be a little bit of confusion, and you know, I was trying to encourage the situation. I said, you know, sometimes doctors, you know, it goes longer than they expect. Sometimes they'll actually, if it's the last surgery of the day, they'll go and get dressed, get cleaned up before they come out and talk to you. All these kind of things. I was talking about this doctor. You know, and she told me who the doctor was and his position there at the hospital. And finally, after 10 hours, here comes the doctor. Now, let me describe this doctor to you. He was kind of a slight man, and he had not cleaned up. Obviously, he had just finished this amazing operation on this beautiful little boy. He came out in front of Stephanie and her husband, David, and he sat down on an ottoman or a coffee table right in front of this young couple. I was off to the side, and he got up on the edge of the table and he just began to describe what he had done. You know, his eyes had indentations around his eyes where obviously there had been some instrument to help him see the small, you know, parts of this little boy's body, and you could tell that he'd had something on his face, and you know, you could tell he'd worked all day. And he, in language that I can't even remember exactly what he said, but he just shared his love and concern for this little boy. And the surgery that he had done and the hopes that he had, and he answered every question. And there were more than a couple of occasions where there was kind of some silence for a moment, and it became, I don't know, to me a little bit awkward of, is there a question? Is there another statement? And where was he going with this? And he just sat there for as long as he needed to and talked about what he had done with this little boy, his hopes for his recovery, answering every question that the parents had. It was unbelievable. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I've been in doctor's offices, and I've talked to doctors, and they kind of hustle you through and hustle you out, hustle you in, hustle you out. You know, don't hang around for your questions. Surely never sit down because they got somewhere else to go. And I'm not criticizing anybody else. I'm just talking about what a beautiful experience it was to see this doctor interact with this young couple about their little boy. It was unbelievable. And I'm telling you what, I would vote for this guy as the doctor of the year simply because of that. But here's the thing, folks. They don't have to do that. I mean, they can call out on the phone and say, hey, everything went well, and I hope it turns out okay. I got to go see you. But I was so impressed by how much he cared. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Magnify that as many times as you're able. And you're not even close to how much God cares about you. You might think that God is uncomfortable with your life, doesn't know how to interact with you, or you don't know how to interact with Him. He is so ready and willing and able to be a personal God for you. So here's the key idea for today's message. The key idea is simply this. I believe God is involved and cares about my life. Do you believe that? I believe that. Let's say it together, would you? I believe God is involved in and cares about my life. Let's do it again. I believe God is involved in and cares about my life. Don't ever forget that. I believe that God is involved in and cares about my life. Beautiful, beautiful key verse, Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. David says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And you see, that verse is the key verse because it adds to our understanding from last week that God is not just the God of the creation. He's not just the power that made everything out of nothing. But He wants to be personally involved with you. David said, my help comes from this relationship that I have with this God. So, if the idea is to have a personal God, there's some Sunday school words, I call them Sunday school words, they come to my mind that I think we need to understand. The first one is transcendence. I mean, think about that, that God is a transcendent God. What does that mean? It means that God is a wow God. That God is greater than our thoughts. That God is more awesome than our imagination. That God transcends our understanding. He's not bound by time. He's not bound by space. He's not bound by power. He's not bound by natural laws. God is transcendent. Can you imagine why someone like that would care about you or me? See, that's what's so awesome about this. Because even though He is transcendent, He still cares. He's immanent. His immanence comes from Him. What does that mean? What it means is that, you know, He's everywhere. He's in everything. He is a part of all of His creation, and all of His creation is part of Him. I mean, it's hard to understand. It's hard to comprehend. It's hard to describe, but that's who our God is. He is provident. His providence rules our world. Nothing happens in your life or my life before it goes across the desk of our Heavenly Father. I mean, and we think about this, and you think, why in the world would anybody, would a being like that have anything to do with my life? You see, this is what makes Christianity so different than the other religions of the world. Most, or maybe even all other religions of the world, they talk about God as being, you know, out there, being up there, being above us. But Christianity is unique in the sense that it says God came down to us. That God loves us so much that he's not just a God out there that tells us how to live. He's a God that came in and lived among us and showed us how to live. Here, let me give you a little illustration. It'll help you understand how awesome this is. All right, guys. All the guys here in church, First Church this morning, I want you to get a supermodel in your mind. Okay, I'm thinking about Arlene. Okay? You guys just imagine asking the most beautiful person that you've ever encountered in the world, and you saying, "Hey, would you like to go to dinner?" And they say, "Sure." And you're like, "Did she just say yes?" Or guy or ladies, you can do this too. I mean, I don't know who you want to think about, but you know, just imagine that. And you think, did they say yes? I mean, sometimes I'm like that. I'm like that with God. It's like, you know, God, do you love me? Will you love me? Will you care for me? And he says, "Sure." And I'm like, "Really? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done? Do you know what I think? Do you know where I live?" You see, folks, it's an amazing thing for an individual to come to the understanding that God is not just a God who created, but that God is a personal God who says yes to us when we say, "God, will you come in to my life and be inside of me?" Let me show you how beautiful this is. One of the greatest examples of this from the Bible is the life of David. In the life of King David, it was interesting because David said in Psalm 8, verse 4, he said, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" Think about that. David said, "What is man that you are mindful of him? What are people that the God of the universe would notice us?" That's what he's saying. Now, if you read that entire psalm, you'll see that David says about the heavens and you know, how they give glory and honor to God, and how God created and did all these things, how the stars in the heavens, he says in that psalm. Think about it. And he's looking out and pointing out all these awesome things that God has done. And then it's almost like he stops for a minute and he says, "Who am I that God would be mindful of me? That God would notice me? That God would know my name?" You see, the beautiful thing is that the Bible teaches that before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. Now think about that. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. The Bible says that before our first day, God knew all of our days. The prophet said, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Jesus said, you know, talked about the birds, we're going to look at that in a minute, birds of the air. You know, it says that he knows the hair on our head, the number. Now, for some of us, that's easier to count than others, but still. It says that he's with us all the days of our lives. He'll be with us to the very end. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back, take you to be with me so that you will be where I am." Eternity. Think about that. God, before we were ever formed in our mother's womb, he knew all of our days. But our days are not confined just to the days of this world, but the days of our life will continue on through all of eternity. And David said, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" Because God doesn't just think about you today, he thought about you yesterday. And God's going to think about you tomorrow as well. Unbelievable. You know, I say this very much tongue-in-cheek, but it is a true story. There's a local pastor here in town. I wouldn't dare tell you his name because you might know him. But he's been here a number of years, and of course I've been here for a number of years, and I remember a number of years ago, the first time I ever met this person, I met him in the hospital. We were there visiting, both of us. We were riding up the elevator together, and I can't remember if he had a name tag, or I can't remember why, but for some reason I noticed who he was, and I introduced myself to him, and he introduced himself to me, and you know, and we talked for a minute. I said, "Hey, have a great day, and you too," and went on our way. Sometime later, I don't know how much longer, how much later it was, but I saw this person again. And I recognized him, I remembered him, and I called him by name, and I said, "How are you today?" And he said, "What's your name?" So I'm Pastor John, First Church of Christ. And, oh, yeah. And it's like, oh, okay. So I met him again sometime later, and I said hello to him again, I had to introduce myself again. And it was like three or four times. It was like, wow, this is getting a little bit weird, you know. And so I saw him one time, and Arlene was with me. And I said, I introduced Arlene to him because everybody remembers Arlene. You know, you meet Arlene, you like me better, right? So I introduced him to Arlene. And then sometime later, I saw him again, and I had to tell him who I was again. And you know what? It just got to the point where it kind of hurt my feelings, if you want to be honest. Now, I mean, I know I'm not the most memorable person in the world, right? Right? I mean, have you ever met somebody, and I'm not saying he was like this, but you ever met somebody and it's like they almost feel like that they're giving you the privilege having met them? Right? I remember I ran into the quarterback of the University of Tennessee one time and literally ran into him in a Hallmark store in Morristown, Tennessee. I said, "Oh, excuse me." And he said, "That's okay. I'm Randy Sanders." I said, "Okay." You know, he was the quarterback at UT, became the offensive coordinator, was the offensive coordinator when they won their national championship some years ago. But anyway, you ever been like that? Listen, God's never like that. Matter of fact, isn't it cool that you don't even have to introduce yourself the first time to God? Right? I mean, you go to God in prayer today and you say, "Lord, you know, remember me?" And he's like, "Remember you? How could I forget you? One of my children, created in my image. Saved for all time." You see, folks, we kind of do that. You know, we think about people and we meet people. We may or may not remember them, but God never forgets us. David said, who am I that you're mindful of me? And it's almost like God is saying, "Are you kidding me? How could I not remember you?" And it wasn't just David. That's how he feels about you and me today. Hey, here's another. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I love this. Jesus is speaking and he says, "Therefore, do not worry." Any worriers here this morning? I'll raise my hand. We all succumb to that at some point, don't we? Do not worry. You know what worry is? Worry is a lack of trust in God. Let's just call it for what it is. I mean, you know, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect faith casts out worry. Because if we know God, God created. If we know God, God is personal. If God is caring for us, if he knew us before our days started, if he's got his plan in place for us for all of eternity, why should I worry about today? Right? So Jesus said, do not worry. But here's the thing. Hey, I want to teach you something. He says some things here that we need to be aware of. And then he also tells us some questions. One particular question that we need to ask ourselves. So look at this passage, Matthew chapter 6, when he's talking about be aware of. Jesus says things like this. Look at the birds of the air. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, he says, look at the birds of the air. Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they awesome? Look how they live. Look how they fly. Look how they flourish. And then he says, are you aware that God thinks you are more valuable than they are? I don't know about you. I need to be aware of that. I need to be aware that that's how God feels about me. He says also in this passage to be aware of, did you know that by worrying you can't add 1 year to your life? Actually, he didn't say that, does he? That you can't add 1 month to your life. No. 1 week to your life. No. One day to your life. No, he says, you can't add 1 hour. You see, worry is not something that robs us of next month. Worry robs us of the next moment of joy in our lives. And those moments of lost joy add up to a lifetime of disappointment. So folks, for us here today, we need to be aware of this. He says in this passage, look at the lilies of the field. And he's talking about their beauty. And he said, not even Solomon in all of his splendor, in all of his glory, could not approach the beauty of the lilies of the field. He says, look at the grass. He said, 1 minute it's here, it's flourishing. The next minute it's cut down and it's thrown into the fire. He says, be aware. Think about this though, folks. If we are going to understand that God is a personal God, we have to be aware. We have to read creation and what it says about this awesome God. But not only should we be aware of these things, then he says, ask yourself this very important question. Do you see it? It's actually the question right out of the text. He says, why do we worry? Because if we're aware of this, if we're aware that God is God and we're not, and that he is a personal God, if we're aware of these things, then why do we worry? Well, most of us would have to admit that we worry because we're not aware of these things. And if we are aware of these things, it will make a difference in life for us every day. There's a beautiful quote out of your Believe book today. It's actually a quote from the Old Testament. And I wrote it up here as a quote. It's a quote by Hagar. Remember her? And Hagar said that you are the God who sees me. I don't know if you remember the context of the story of Hagar, but it's basically that God appeared to Abram and Sarai and told them that he was going to make them a great nation. Abraham, you're going to have descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky, numerous as the sand on the seashore. Sarah couldn't hardly believe it because she could not feel within her how she could ever have a child. She felt her barrenness. It was a burden on her. And during this whole time when God made the promise and they didn't believe him, at some particular point, Sarah said, I have a maidservant, Hagar. And she encouraged her husband, Abraham, to take Hagar into his bed and have a child with her. Her understanding was, maybe this is the way that God can multiply your offspring. Isn't it amazing how we get so far away from what God really wants for us because we don't understand just how a personal God he is? I mean, think about this. Here's Sarah and Abraham doing this detestable thing because they don't trust God in his power and in his might. They feel that he is an impotent God rather than an all-powerful God. So they come up with this plan, and Hagar goes in. She lays with Abraham. She has a child by him. The child, Ishmael, is born. And guess what? Sarah hates her. Her idea. But Sarah hates her, hates the child, can't even take it when she looks at this maidservant and this child. So she says to her husband, let's send them out into the desert so that they will die. Hagar, her young son, they're cast out into the desert. And it's this at this time that this conversation happens between God and Hagar. And even though this is God is amazing how God can interject his personal love and devotion for us in the midst of our disobedience. And he can turn something that's awful into something that's good. And he says to Hagar in this time, you know, he tells her to go back, not back to the home, but he gives her her own land, and he tells her, promises her that you're going to be the mother of great people too, and all this kind of stuff. And it's at that time that Hagar looks to heaven and she said, you are the God who sees me. And he is. And you know what, folks, there's some of us here this morning. We're like Abraham. We're like Sarah. We're like Hagar. We're like Ishmael. We just get off track of what God wants us to be. And we just need to recognize that God, you're not just the God who created everything, but you're the God who sees me. Same thing happened to Jesus. Remember the story in the New Testament when Jesus was at the well with the woman at the well? And she goes back into town and she says, come and see. You know, she's met this one that knows everything that there is about her. She says the same thing that Hagar says here, that Jesus Christ, that God is the God who sees me. He can look deep inside of us and know who we are and who we will be. But never think that God does not care about you. The only thing that keeps you from a God that cares about you is you. I remember years ago, Arlene loves to tell the story of how when I was a freshman in college, between my freshman and sophomore year in college, she called and asked me out, and that's true. She did. And that was the start of our dating, and, you know, here we are. But she likes to tell that story that she was the one that asked me out. And it's true. But really the truth is that years before, I was born and raised in Lee County, Virginia, Pennington Gap. She was raised in Big Stone Gap, Virginia, 17 miles apart. We attended two different independent Christian churches, and we would get together for youth rallies and things, and I would see her there. Even as a teenager, still in high school, I would see her there. And this was my thought, okay? I thought, wow, she's beautiful. And if I were telling you the truth, I would tell you that I never asked her out until she called me when I was in college. Because in my mind, I didn't have a chance. Seriously. She was beautiful. She's still beautiful, but she was beautiful. And I just looked in the mirror, okay? And I'm thinking, what chance do I have with somebody like that? And you know what, folks? I know it might seem corny, but there's a lot of us here this morning, we think that way when it comes to God. Who am I that God would give me the time of day? Who am I that God would really love me? Have you seen me? Do you know me? Do you know my heart? There's no way that God could treat me that way. But he does. And he will. If we just reach out to him. You know that little prayer, God is great, God is good, God is. He is great. And he's great because he's not only powerful, he's great because he's personal. He is good. And he's not good just because of that he's God. He's good because of his very nature, his love. And he created us so that he could love us. And so we could love him. I pray that you know that kind of personal God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, what a joy it is to know not just that you are God, but that, Lord, you really do love us. That, Father, we couldn't do anything to make you love us more. We couldn't accomplish anything that would make you do anything greater for us than you've already done. God, we can't do anything bad enough to make you stop loving us. So, Father, may we know today that not only are you the God who created all that there is, but, Lord, that you are our personal God. That, Lord, if you carried a wallet that had pictures of the people that you love the most, that our picture would be in it. And that, Lord, we could never come to you and say, God, remember me? No, because you always remember us, love us. We are your children, and you died for us. And I pray, Lord, that we would embrace that in real and wonderful ways. So, God, I just pray for every person within the sound of my voice this morning, that, Lord, they would know that you love them unconditionally, that you love them, Lord, just where they are, but you love them too much to leave them just there. But that, Father, you want us to grow in our understanding of this personal Lord and Savior in such a way that it changes our life that, Lord, we know that we are not alone and that you are with us every moment of every day. That, God, you are not a creator God who wound this big thing of creation up like a clock and just left it to its own devices. But that, Lord, all down through the ages, you have intervened. You have interjected yourself into our lives. And that, Lord, you continue to do so today. So, Father, may we trust that kind of presence in our lives. And, God, may it help us to become all that you want us to be. Father, may we never be afraid to come to you because we think that you don't care. Because, Lord, the very life of Jesus shows how much you care and how much you love us. So, Lord, may we live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, Christ.com.